The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you,
Lord. The risen Jesus appears to his disciples, offering them a benediction, a commission, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But one of their number is missing, and his unbelief prompts another visit from the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name, the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Children, please come forward for the children's sermon.
I need y'all to come over here and face me. Come over here so I can so you can see what I'm doing. Come over here. I'm going to need some help, so I need you to come over here where you can see what I'm doing.
Why don't you gather in a circle up here? So come sit up around here.
Okay.
Let's
that'll work that. Better. Than
come up here.
Okay. Okay. Do you find it easy to believe what someone tells you, even though it seems almost impossible? You don't. Okay. For example, suppose I said to you, "I am going to fasten these two paper clips together without touching them with my hands." Would you believe that? Okay. And it's not easy to believe, but I'm going to take this $1 bill. And I'm going to fold it in thirds. I'm going to put one paper clip right here and one paper clip right there. Now you see that? And you see the paper clips are not touching, and I'm not touching the paper clips. Now I'm going to do it real slowly. I'm going to unfold this, but I need you to hold your hands. Can you hold your hands right up here for me where you can catch the paper clip? Okay, put your hands together. Okay. Now see what I'm doing? And this is going to... Oh, it didn't fall. And the two paper clips are together. Now, since you've seen it, you believe it, right? Can you believe that? Okay. That's pretty cool. No one knew you could connect two paper clips together like that, did you? Okay. On the evening of the first Sunday after Jesus had been crucified, his disciples were together in a locked room. They were afraid that those who had crucified Jesus would also want to put them to death. Suddenly, Jesus appeared there in the locked room with the disciples. It was hard to believe, but they saw him, and Jesus showed them his wounds in his hands and his side. So they knew it was him. One of the disciples, whose name was Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus appeared to them. When they told Thomas that they had seen Jesus, he didn't believe them. He had seen him crucified and buried. How could he be alive? Thomas said, "Unless I see the wound in his side and put my finger in the holes where the nails were in his hands, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were in the locked room again, and this time Thomas was with them. Again, Jesus came and stood among the disciples. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. You see my hands? Reach out with your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas fell to his knees and answered, "My God and my Lord." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You and I have never seen Jesus with our own eyes, have we? The question is, will we be doubters, or will we be one of those who Jesus said was blessed because they believe, even though they have not seen? Can you fold your hands in prayer for me, please? Okay. Dear Father, help us to believe in our heart the truths we find in your holy word, even though we have not seen them with our own eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in signs? I'll ask one more time. Do you believe in signs? Our lives depend on signs. We need signs for when we drive, signs that tell us where we're going, how far away from our destination we are, what rules to follow, and what rules to avoid. We also have signs through verbal communication and body language. We usually don't think about that when we say signs. These signs show us how others relate to us and how to improve our relationships with them. Today, we are reminded that God knows how these signs help us to make sense of the world. So it is no surprise that the Word of God is full of these signs. I want to begin with talking about what is missing from our Acts reading today. If you look at the scripture passage, you'll notice that there's a section that's left out. The piece of the text that the liturgy leaves out includes the moon turning to blood as a sign of Christ's coming. It says, "The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood." Lutheran liturgy usually doesn't like these pieces. Not too long ago, one of these blood moons appeared, and there are more to come. They coincide with important Jewish holidays, such as Passover, which is, of course, significant for Christians as well. They also coincide with discussions between Palestine and Israel, who on the day of the most recent blood moon were discussing the division of Israel for the benefit of both nations. This discussion was halted. I am sure that many, if not all of you, are aware of the tendencies of popular televangelists to discuss signs from God of what they call the coming apocalypse. Books have been written on these blood moons, of which there will be four in a sequence, so there are three more to come after the one that was already there, as an apocalyptic message from God. Now, we must remember the Apostle Paul here as we discuss this, because Paul and his churches were going through largely the same thing. People today, like those in Paul's churches, want to know how to live to prepare for the end times. Let us remember that St. Paul's life on earth was a long time ago, and this same conversation was still happening. Christ has not yet come again. We know straight from the mouth of the living Word that only God, not even Christ, knows when he will send his Son to us once again. That is why God cautions us against making these predictions ourselves. We are not capable of doing so. So the only thing that we can do is live our lives in the way that Christ would have us live today. We need to live in the way of Christ right now, not putting it off until tomorrow, because the true end times for us are whenever we die. We do not know when our ends will come, and if that will be because of death, which is much more likely, or this apocalypse that we chase after signs of to make our daily lives more interesting than they otherwise might be. Now, that does not mean that we should ignore these signs or regard them as meaningless. We should regard them as a street sign along our journey that simply says, Emmanuel. We remember what this means from Christmas: God with us. God is with us. It is not a sign that says the end is near, pull up your own bootstraps and get some grace for yourself before the devil drags you down to hell. That is not how God works. It is a reminder that God is with us. I want to elaborate when I say that is not how God works. Many of us have developed evangelical theologies which lie underneath our Lutheran faith. And it is important to carve those out of our belief systems because we are not evangelicals. This is, however, a culture that is satiated with evangelical belief systems. And there is one part of this that is actually hurting us quite a bit. When we discuss these apocalyptic signs, we have this underlying thought that God is a God of punishment. We think of the apocalypse or judgment day as just that, a time when sins will be counted and souls will be punished. Many of us have parts of our childhood story that align with this belief system, specifically when we look at how our parents raised us, because they were raised in the same way. They were taught, and so they taught you, that you had to earn things in life. You worked hard and received good things from that, or you did not work hard and got bad things from that. Now, I want to be clear that the work that we do matters. The Christian life is not one where we can just sin and expect God to look favorably upon that. But our work matters in a different way than we think. Let's go to our gospel story today so that I can further explain what it is that I mean. Now we see the first 11 disciples embracing Christ when he comes to them, and they do not need him to show them his wounds so that they will believe, right? Now this represents a lot of our faith life in the way that we have never seen Christ physically. But we do have many stories to tell about where Jesus shows up in our lives, where we can see, feel, and hear his presence. So we are actually much closer to doubting Thomas than we often realize. Now we recall that the Apostle Thomas was given this nickname because of this specific Bible story. Thomas tells his brothers, the other disciples, that he will not believe that Christ has risen until he sees and touches the wounds in Christ's hands and puts his hand into his side. Christ tells Thomas to go ahead and see and touch his wounds and to know that it is the Lord before him. Thomas does so and believes. Thomas required some extra attention from God before he believed in the resurrection. We often require some extra nudging from God to remind us, for example, that searching for signs of Christ's coming, like these blood moons, and proclaiming to others that the end is near, are not the ways that we are expected to live our lives as Christians. We often require some extra nudging from God of the opposite as well, that the end is near. The end of our lives is nearer than we realize for all of us. And the signs of that end coming are already here and more are fast approaching. As Christians, we will be more aware of the signs that God gives us in our lives. And if we are not, God will indeed give us signs to help redirect us to the Christian path once more. These signs come through others around us and through finding the results of the non-Christian life in this world. God has claimed us And where God is not, our hearts will ache to find him once more. Our psalm for today reminds us that the Lord is our portion and our cup. He does not give us up to Sheol, the Jewish term for the place of the dead, or let us, his faithful ones, see the pit. See, this is what I mean. The next line says, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is our shepherd and we are his sheep." Have you ever heard of a shepherd who injured his sheep to teach them a lesson? No, you haven't, because this is contradictory to what a shepherd does. You don't say, "Oh, my horse bucked someone today, so I'm going to shoot him in the leg." You don't do that because it doesn't make any sense. So Christ, in the same way, doesn't say, "Well, Thomas, I see that you don't get it. So maybe, Thomas, if I take you up back for a whipping like the one that I just went through, your eyes will be opened and you will know that I am the Lord, because you will hurt like I did." There is no sense in that. God gives us signs that we can use to bring us closer to him, not to alienate us and make our suffering in the world worse. He doesn't break our leg because we didn't put the ladder against the house right. We break our own leg that way while God looks on concerned. He doesn't put us in the hospital or keep us homebound so that we have time to reflect on and build up our relationship with him. Instead, he finds us in the midst of those painful situations. He finds us in the midst of those painful situations and reminds us that he is suffering with us. When one of these televangelists comes on TV and says, "You had better watch out for these blood moons because God is coming to town and he is not happy," there is a lot that comes from their own childhoods that is being inflicted upon their relationship with God. But God suffers with those people and with us when we think this way. He holds his hand over his face and feels our pain. What we should actually do when we see signs of God like these blood moons is get excited. Say hi to God, wave to God, put your hand in God's side and touch the places where the nails were. Know that God wants you to do good things, and that is how we see the fruit of our relationship with God. When we do good things in his name, but that is not why he loves us. He is always there, no matter what, and if we need a little extra nudging, he will not turn his back on us. He did not put the blood moons in the sky to say that his punishment is coming upon us. He did it to remind us that he is there. That is why we have the Bible. Now let me say it in the words of he who is the divine author of the word and of our salvation. This is in our reading from 1 Peter. "In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That is why we go through suffering on earth. Not because God likes to shoot us in the foot, but because in this broken world, we find God where we find suffering. In our darkest moments, our faith is indeed tested by fire. And we can either lose our faith in these moments if we believe that God is out to punish us, or we can hold God's hand more tightly as we walk through the fire, knowing that the shepherd walks the same path as his sheep, Indeed, he has walked before us through his crucifixion and resurrection, so that we may follow him into everlasting life. For us, because we believe in the Lord, there is no true end time. Our salvation has been procured, and though this life ends when we die, we will be made new with Christ in eternal life. Let each sign be for us a message of Christ's love, a sign of the one who protects us, reminding us that he is watching over us. If we look to him in our lives, there is nothing to fear. Amen.